You can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on three qualities of a believer. And Ephesians chapter 1, 2 and 3 are what God has done for us. What God has done for us. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 are what we are to do because of what God has done for us. So we're going to start by looking at what God has done for us. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, "according as he has chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." So he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's chosen us. He's predestinated us as sons. And he's made us accepted in the beloved. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us," or made us alive, "together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So he's quickened us. He's made us alive. And he's raised us up together with Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship," or his masterpiece. You and I are his masterpiece, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in those good works." And then verse 22 says, "In whom also you are builded together for a habitation," a dwelling place of God, "through the Spirit." Then chapter 3, verse 3 says, "How that by revelation he has made known unto me the mystery." Verse 5, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." And so we've all been called to this one body together, and there's no difference. Anybody who believes is called. So this is some, just some of what God has done for us. And chapter 4, verse 1 starts talking about what we should do. "I therefore, because of all of these blessings, all of these things that God has done for us, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, encourage you, implore you, ask you, that you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering." And those are the three qualities we're going to look at tonight. Okay, so because of everything God's done for us, what we're to do is to walk worthy of the calling with which we're called. And the way we're supposed to do that is with lowliness, meekness, and long suffering. Go to Matthew 18, chapter, or verse 1. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. So the first one we're going to look at is lowliness. Lowliness. And lowliness is to have a humble opinion of yourself. To not be full of pride or not have a big ego. That's what it means to have a humble opinion of yourself. To not have a big ego or not be full of pride, not be prideful. And Matthew 18, verse 1, it says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the what? Greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So this is Jesus Christ's example of who is the greatest. His example of who the greatest would be is a little child, someone who's humble, someone who's brought themselves low, right? With lowliness, a humble opinion of yourself. That's the person who is the greatest. Chapter 23. Verse 1, here's an example from Jesus Christ of what not to be. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They don't walk their talk. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, and they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all of their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. That's what they long after. And that's the opposite of being humble. That's doing everything you can to be noticed. Everything you can to feel important. And that is how they behaved. Verse 8 says, But be not ye called Rabbi, for one, only one is your master, even Christ, and all of you are brothers. You're brothers together. And call no man your father upon the earth, for only one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your what? Servant. Your servant. And so that's, again, what we're to be. And verse 12, And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And so that's what we're to be. We're to be lowly. We're to be humble. And by doing that, then God will build us up. Right? That's the dichotomy. If we make ourselves humble, it's God who builds us up. It's God who exalts us. We don't need to do it ourselves. And I'd much rather have God building me up than trying to do it myself. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. So one of the qualities that we're to have is to be humble. Lowliness. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. That means not thinking highly of oneself. Let each esteem other better than who? Themselves. So we're to think about each other as better than ourselves. Not think about ourselves as better than everybody else. God thinks you're better than everybody else. And you are, because God's made you to be. But you're not supposed to think that way. You're not supposed to then think, well, I'm the best ever. I can do whatever I want. You're supposed to think, I'm a humble servant. I want to take care of people. How can I bless other people? How can I give back? We're not supposed to have humble brains. God already made you awesome. God already sees you as the greatest. And when you see yourself that way, then it allows you to behave the opposite. It's weird, right? Okay? So you want to think of yourself as great because that's what God's called you to be. But you don't want to behave that way. You don't want to walk all over people, take advantage of people, that kind of stuff. You want to behave humbly. Okay? So, verse 3 again, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Right? To keep an eye out for other people and what they might need and what you can do to bless them. That's a quality of a believer. That's part of our calling. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. The second quality was meekness. And meekness means to be gentle. It means to be even-tempered. And it means to be tender. Meekness is to be gentle, to be even-tempered, and to be tender. A lot of times people think meekness is humility. But in this case, that word means something different. It does mean to be gentle, to be even-tempered, and to be tender. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. And the verse here says that Paul is beseeching them by the meekness and gentleness of who? Christ. Christ. So once again, Christ is our example. Christ is to be our example. How did Christ live? What was his way of being with other people? Go to Matthew 8, verse 1. Let's look. Matthew 8, verse 1. If Jesus Christ is to be our example, then we got to know how he walked. In Matthew 8, verse 1, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, speaking of Jesus Christ. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I sure will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And as we know, Jesus putting forth his hand means he touched him. And specifically, he embraced him. He embraced a leper. That was Jesus Christ. Gentle, tender. Here was a man with leprosy. It didn't stop him. He had a gentle and a tender way about him. And he embraced this man and healed him. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 2. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Moses in the law from God, says when we catch somebody doing this, it's stone time. What do you say? What did Jesus say? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. That was their intention, not to carry out the law, but to accuse Jesus Christ. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And said, Yeah, you're right, let's stone her. That's what the law says. He said, If you don't have any sin, then you throw a stone. Verse 9, And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And so that was Jesus Christ's example. Did the law say this woman should have been stoned? Yeah. But Jesus Christ had compassion on her. Jesus Christ understood that we're all sinners. Jesus Christ was tender. He was gentle. He was even-tempered. Go to Galatians 6, verse 1. And Paul said that's how he was to behave. And that's how we're to behave. Like Jesus Christ. He's our example. And when we deal with other people, it's the same way. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault... So if a man is overtaken in a fault, it means he's got a real problem. Something's really going on in his life. He's got a problem with a sin of some kind or another. He's been overtaken by that fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, restore that person who's been overtaken in a fault, restore them in the spirit of what? Meekness. The spirit of gentleness, the spirit of kindness, the spirit of tenderness. That's how you're supposed to restore somebody. That's how you bring them back. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It doesn't say, hey, if somebody's overtaken in a fault, they've really beaten themselves up, they're screwed up in some way or another, that we're supposed to go beat them over the head. That we're supposed to be angry with them. That we're supposed to be mean to them. It says that we're supposed to restore them in the spirit of gentleness, kindness, tenderness. Now there's times where you need to reprove somebody and bring them back to the Word of God, but our first response should not be to fly off the handle, right? You give them the Word. You love them up. If they don't listen, then... that's a different story. But our attempt, it should be one of kindness, one of meekness, one of gentleness. Go to Titus 3, verse 1. If you're somebody who's constantly yelling at other people for what they're doing wrong, then that latter half of the verse pertains to you. Says, be careful that you don't get overtaken, that you don't get tempted, right? That tempted is being overtaken as well. Because if that's your reaction all the time, then you yourself are overtaken in a fault. Titus 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And so we know that Titus is written to leaders, but we're to be as believers, as people are going to help other people, we're to be meek, we're to be gentle, we're to be kind. So that's the second quality. And the last one is long-suffering. Go to Proverbs 14, verse 17. Proverbs 14, verse 17. And long-suffering is literally suffering long. Patience. Forbearance. slow to anger. That's what long suffering is. It means you'll suffer with something for a long time. You don't just immediately bubble over and go, rah, rah. You take your time with it. You're patient with it. Imagine somebody just keeps poking you. If the first time they poke you, you go, rah, then that's not long suffering. If they poke you like a dozen times, then you're being long suffering. Okay. Then you're suffering long with it. You're being patient, you're forbearing, and you're slow to anger. Okay? And all those things are true. Slow to anger. Patient. You take your time with it. It doesn't mean that you can't, like, at some point, everybody's got their breaking point, but you're slow to get there. It's not the first thing you do. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry deals really intelligently, quite wisely, has lots of friends. He that is soon angry deals foolishly. He deals foolishly. So a person who gets really angry quickly is someone that the Word of God says is foolish. Well, that's not good. We don't want to be foolish. Matthew 18, verse 21. So we don't want to be foolish. Matthew 18, verse 21. We want to be wise. We all know this one. Good old Peter man. Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How many times am I going to be poked? What's the number? What's my poking limit? Is it 7 times? If I am poked 8 times, can I finally smack him? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 pokes. But until 70 times 7, be a pincushion. Keep forgiving them. 70 times 7, just keep forgiving them. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which should take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, be long-suffering, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He forgave him. But that same servant, the one who was forgiven, went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Just a fraction of what he owed. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, give me my money! Pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, be long-suffering, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he paid the debt. That's not how he was treated. So when his fellow servants saw what he was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Look what this guy did. And his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Why wouldn't you do the same for him? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, so that he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So we're to be forgiving. And patience has a lot to do with forgiving people. It has a lot to do with forgiving people. If you're patient, if you're long-suffering, you'll find it so easy to forgive people. Because you'll remember what you've been forgiven for. What God has forgiven you for. So if you're patient in your long suffering, it's easy to forgive other people. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. So we're to be patient. We're to be slow to anger. And that helps us to be forgiving. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. This is Paul. This is Paul. Now we have to remember, well, here we go. Verse 12, Paul reminds us, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." I'm just so thankful Christ enabled me and put me into his ministry. Because this is who I was, verse 13. "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious." That's who Paul was before. He persecuted God's people. He beat them up. He killed them. Put them into prison. He separated families. That's the kind of person Paul was. How many believers have you murdered? I hope it's zero. It's zero for me. But Paul murdered lots of believers. "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I'm the biggest sinner there is. But he came to save me. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern or an example to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Wow. And that's what Paul felt. That's how Paul viewed himself. Paul viewed himself as the example. Paul said, "I know I was called to be a part of this ministry, to be forgiven, so that I could be an example of patience and long-suffering for all those who came after. As somebody who murdered God's people, and yet was forgiven. And yet patience was had towards him, so that he could be an example of patience. Jesus showed him all manner of patience. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. So we can forgive each other. We can be patient and long-suffering with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be what? Patient toward all." Patient toward all. And that's in the same verse as reproving or warning them that are getting out of hand, that are unruly, that are getting off the word. Comforting those who are weak-minded, and building up or supporting those who need help. That's all, takes a lot of patience, takes a lot of forbearance to do that stuff. But that's how God wants us to be. If we just give up at the first sign of difficulty when it comes to serving or taking care of other people, then we're not being patient. We're not being forbearing, right? People are messy. It's the way people are, because we're not perfect. If we give up, if we get hard-hearted, if we're quick to anger, then we lose out on all that opportunity to bless and to give and to serve. Ephesians 4:2 again, we'll close. Ephesians 4:1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, ask you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, And we're to walk that way with lowliness, humility, with meekness, gentleness and tenderness, and with long suffering, with patience and forbearance, being slow to anger. So those are three qualities of a believer.